Hello and welcome to our latest NWSL preview show for Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavam, and again, I'm joined by my deputy editor and friend out in the United States, JJ Duke. JJ, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy to keep rolling on with these previews.
Keep on rolling, baby, indeed. Now we move on to the Houston Dash for this preview. I think there were some high expectations for the Dash last year, especially when you look at what Randy Waldron was able to do in the draft, bringing in players like Carrie Roquero, Janine Becky, Rachel Daly. I think it would be fair to say didn't quite go according to plan for the Dash, did it? And I guess the question is, can they better what they were able to do last year?
Yeah, I think they can absolutely better what they did last year. They finished, you know, with 22 points, 6 wins of 20. Their biggest issue was consistency. They just didn't have any. You know, we talked about the fact in the middle of the season they had, what, 5-6 straight 1-0 losses? And then all of a sudden, Kelly Ohai goes on a single woman scoring just stretch of literally putting the team on her back, scoring 11 goals on the season, the majority come in the back, what, month and a half of the season, 2 months, if you will. And they were competitive. They just, you know, you talk about in, like, say, golf, for example, you can't obviously win a 4, you know, round tournament in the first round, but you can certainly lose it by digging yourself a hole. They did exactly that. They dug a hole and they couldn't get out of it.
You mentioned they weren't able to get consistency. 5-1-0 losses on the trot is pretty consistent, but in a bad way. I guess the difficulty for them, they started off so well, didn't they? That win over the Chicago Red Stars on the opening day, Rachel Daly scoring, and, you know, they started off so well, and then it kind of, I don't know, I find the Dash one of the more difficult teams to predict for this season. As we said in our Boston Breakers preview, we're not looking to make any bold predictions in terms of where teams might finish, but if you put a gun to my head and asked me who would be or where the Dash would finish, I'd really struggle to give you a straight answer, because the honest answer is I don't know.
I think, honestly, anywhere between 3rd and 8th. I mean, there's so, if everything clicks, they can be one of the best teams in the league. If something doesn't go well, then we're just going to get a repeat of last year. We can't knock on the personnel. They've got all the players to be successful. It's just, can they have an entire season go the way according to plan?
So if they are going to have a season that goes according to plan, much like we have done in some of the other previews, we've kind of tried to earmark where their major strength is. Now, we know that in periods last year they had trouble scoring, and then, as you say, Kelly Ohai went on that major run. But they have talent, don't they? They have someone like Rachel Daly, who is very highly thought of, has been brought into Mark Sampson's England squad, so he's clearly recognised what she's doing out in Houston. Janine Becky was one of the standouts at the Rio Olympics last year. We know that in a very talented Canadian team, she is one of the standouts. Going forward, they have options. Defensively, I look at them, they have options. Midfield, I look at someone like Andressa, or Andressinha, as a lot of people would refer to her as. Very, very talented, seen as one of the brightest prospects in Brazilian football. I look at someone like Morgan Bryan, who I rate incredibly highly. I've said it before, I still think she is capable of being one of the best midfielders in the world with her all-round play. There's not a lot of weaknesses there, but I just wonder if there's enough for them to challenge for a playoff place.
Well, you know, you talk about all those players. You talk about Becky. She was great in the Olympics, but she never got going for Houston, had a handful of goals. Rachel Daly started off really well, then never got going after June 15th. Rachel Daly, obviously, also, barring she stays healthy, will be with England for the Euros. So you're going to have some mixing and some matching. I like the draft pick of Nichelle Prince, who was on the Olympic team for Canada, very good player for Ohio State as well. So she's going to come and do some things. But it's always one of these things for Houston that they always look so good on paper, Kieran, and they just can't get it done on the field. And you wonder, is it a system thing? Is it a, you know, a tactical thing? They've got the players. I think Randy Waldron is also a very good coach, but it just hasn't come together. If you were to ask me, though, to kind of pinpoint something, I still think their defense is lacking. Signings were good. Janine Van Wyk is probably one of the best players to ever come out of South Africa, at least in terms of a defending stature. I think she's going to add something to the team. Bruna Benitez is a very experienced defender. And also what I understand is she's already very good speaking in English, so that's going to help, at least in terms of communicating with their teammates across the back line. Claire Faulkner got a year under her belt at Bayern Munich, so her game is improved. Signings are good, but there's holes. There's still holes there. I don't think that they've done enough to fill to, you know, be like a Chicago team that has, you know, two or three internationals on their back line.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I think Janine Van Wyk is a player that's going to be quite interesting. We saw her for South Africa, didn't we, against the US Women's National Team, and she was by far one of the standouts, was one of those players who will throw her body in front of anything, and I think the Dash will benefit from that hugely. They have ball-playing defenders like Pollyanna, who is highly, highly thought of and will add some quality at the back, and having Stephanie Oakes back after the injury that she had will be key. She's obviously had some time down in Australia playing for Canberra as well, so that will have been beneficial for her. We got to look at the midfield. As I said, we mentioned Morgan Bryan, we mentioned Andrasinia. Amber Brooks, I think a really solid NWSL midfielder as well. I think she's moved around a little bit, had obviously a time over here in Europe, but I really like Amber. I guess the standout that we have to talk about is Carly Lloyd. Obviously, Carly will miss the first, 2 months of the season because she's currently over here in England playing for Manchester City Women. I guess I have two questions for you. Number one, how much are they going to miss Carly Lloyd? And number two, how difficult is it going to be for her, I guess, to readjust to Houston and the NWSL when she will have been playing in the FAWSL Spring Series, she will have been playing in the Women's FA Cup, and she would have been playing in the UEFA Women's Champions League. Very different competitions to what she will have been used to. How difficult do you think it's going to be for her to readjust and have an impact on that Houston team when she returns?
I mean, that's a question, isn't it? When you look at Carly Lloyd, we've always said that whenever she comes on to any field suiting up for any team, she's going to give 100%. She is the consummate professional. She will do whatever it takes to win a match. I mean, played 7 games last year for Houston and scored 5 goals, but there were issues. What those issues were, we may never know what actually happened, because she was the last player, I think, of the national team, or at least all the players that returned back to their NWSL teams after the Olympics. She was the last to come back. Took an extra couple of weeks. That didn't sit well with Randy Waldrum. And then all of a sudden she comes out and says that, you know, that she signed with Manchester City, which I think that's a great move for her. That's a loaded team, bunch of superstars, Champions League football. You're never going to turn away from that. But we don't know how it's going to translate, because what if Houston jumps out of the gate well and has great consistency in the first couple of months, and then you throw in somebody basically, you know, not to say that they're a stranger to this team, but they're a stranger to this year's addition from the team, and, you know, what does Randy do? Because, you know, you'd have to think about it. You're not going to sit Carly Lloyd. You're going to have to play her. And then on the flip side, if Houston struggle out of the gate, is it going to be looking to, well, we have Carly Lloyd back, the World Player of the Year. Can she save us for the rest of the season, help us get into the postseason? So, yeah, it's a loaded question. I'm afraid I don't have an answer to it.
No, and I don't think I do either. Obviously, I saw Carly's debut recently against Reading Women, and she was as influential as you would expect her to be. She played in an attacking midfield role. She had a lot of the ball, especially in the first half. She played some key passes, had some good efforts on goal, and I think, from my perspective, I think, like you say, you have to play her. You cannot bench the Women's World Player of the Year, and I think it's very difficult to do that. I think you have to try and find a space for her because of the influence that she has. Yes, if Houston come out of the traps flying and they are in the top four and Carly returns, then from my perspective, she can only add quality and make them even better. The difficulty for Randy Waldrum is, where do you fit her in and how do you fit her in? And actually, on Randy Waldrum, We talked in another preview on the Boston Breakers about the pressures that Matt Beard might be under if he doesn't get that team going now that he's been able to bring in the players that he wants. I look at Randy Waldron, mate, and I love Randy. I've spoken to him a couple of times. Charming, great enthusiasm for the women's game. Very, very knowledgeable. But I think he might be under pressure as well if Houston don't start well.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I mean, you know, we've had a few years, really the same result. Now, obviously, year one, team was just kind of thrown together at the last minute, so we give them a pass. That was in 2014. 2015, starting to build the culture that he wants, but let's face it, the World Cup kind of overtook everything, and, you know, the team showed that they were pretty thin in terms of depth. We thought last year that they were going to be a team that, you know, they would have the depth to compete in the months leading up to the Olympics, and they'd have enough to go forward and finish out the season strong. And it just, you know, again, not to be like a broken record here, but it never clicked. So I'm with you. I think if, you know, the Dash don't start out the first couple of months of the season and have at least a mid-table respectability place in the standings, there might be some movement. Not saying that there will, but saying that there might.
Yeah, no, I agree. We haven't even mentioned Denise O'Sullivan. I mean, she came in last year, Irish international. I think it would be fair to say that probably a few Americans didn't know much about her. They'd obviously seen her play against the US when she was representing Ireland. I think she actually had a good season last year, mate. I think adapting to the league would have been very difficult, having played previously with Glasgow City in the Scottish League, not the highest standard of league. Glasgow City, a really good side, and have done well in the Women's Champions League, but don't necessarily always come up against the strongest of opposition. I think of the new signings that came in last year, I think Denise O'Sullivan was one of the better ones.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100% on that. I think that she was very good. You know, kind of not a player that's going to stand out in terms of statistical play. I mean, she had a grand total of maybe a couple of points. Looking quickly at the stat sheet here, 2 goals, 3 assists in 18 matches. It's good. I mean, she's a player that's going to sit maybe a little bit deeper at times, get forward on others, depending on, you know, how the team's formation that day. But yeah, she's all in all, that was a good signing. That was one of the better ones that Randy has made thus far, and she made an impact when she had to.
And Andressa being another one, we kind of mentioned her very briefly earlier, but get her on the ball, get her in the game. She's dangerous.
Her and Poliana, I like Poliana out wide as well. Adds a new element, speed, good technical ability, but Andressa just seems so calm on the ball. You know, like, she can slot in with Morgan Bryan, maybe play a little bit higher than her. I still see Morgan Bryan as kind of a, not a true holding number five, but your center midfield, your center midfielder, your box to box. You know, we'll get into the offensive action on times. We'll sit back in others and, you know, hit that killer ball while playing good defense. But Andressa is just composed, willing to get into challenges, but also has that flair as well. And she's a player that I think a lot of fans have enjoyed watching her over the past year. And she seemed comfortable last year, which is always the big thing as well. You've talked about it, players from overseas coming to America, it's a different game. You not only have to get used to the soccer culture, but you have to get used to the culture in general. And let's face it, Houston, it's pretty darn hot there the majority of the year, so that's another factor you have to worry about, the heat. But she did well. The stats won't show it, just a goal and assist in 15 matches, but I think the arrow only points up in her direction.
Man, that heat and that humidity, experienced that for myself in October for the championship game. For a Brit abroad, that was hot, believe me. So I can understand where you're coming from on that. I want to conclude really quickly. We haven't even mentioned the goalkeeping situation, where at the moment, at the time of recording, Houston have 3 very good international goalkeepers in Jane Campbell, who was obviously drafted this year, Bianca Henninger, and Lydia Williams. That's going to be interesting, because very rarely do teams go into an NWSL season with 3 keepers on the roster.
Yeah, by my math right now, I've got 18 contracted players for Houston. I'd actually be a little surprised if they didn't keep all 3, because, you know, unless there's going to be a late trade coming in, and boy, you know, at the time of recording, if Randy Waldrum is going to make a move for a goalkeeper or to, you know, trade a goalkeeper for another positional player, it's going to be now. It can't be in the next week or so, because then preseason's pretty much halfway over, or, you know, close to the start of the regular season at that point. So if he's going to strike, he's going to strike quickly. Other than that, he's going to have a plethora of riches in net, but that's always the problem in it. As you said, you can only field one goalkeeper. So, yeah, I don't know who's going to start, because they all have worthy cases. Henninger is... She's an original. She's a day one Houston Dash player and has only seen her game get better and better. We know what class Lydia Williams has, obviously, more so with Australia, and, you know, has been around the American League for a little while. And then Jane Campbell, who I thought for all 4 years of her being in college was one of the best goalkeepers in the NCAA. So... yeah, that's a good one. And I'm curious to see how that battle is going to go down for the top spot.
Yeah, very interesting. I rate Lydia Williams as one of the best in the world. And Bianca Henninger, Jane Campbell, two very worthy starters as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, mate. And when we come back, we'll have an interview with a member of the Houston Dash roster.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
And welcome back to the Houston Dash preview here on WOSO Zone. JJ Duke with you, and joining me now is Cammy Privett. And Cammy, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us. And first off, how are things going in preseason so far? Couple of weeks into training at time of recording, give us an update on how things are progressing.
So far, things are all panning out. Obviously, we have a lot of things to work on. That's expected during preseason, but I feel like as a whole, we're getting through a lot of the kinks relatively quickly, and that's always a good start.
Coming into this preseason, your team has a lot of core players returning and starting off the season in camp with you guys. How much of that is an advantage as opposed to years past where you had some moving pieces, whether it was at the start of preseason or players kind of going in and out throughout the year due to international play, but having that big core group right from the get-go available, how much is that play to a big factor for you guys?
A lot of the players coming back and already having some good bonds with players and knowing how each other play really makes a big impact. One thing that I have seen this year that helped a lot is that since a lot of the players have come back, we understand a lot of how Randy's coaching is and the practices that he normally does. So we're kind of picking things up relatively quicker than we had in the year prior.
Yeah, and the factor with the international players is, you know, there's not going to be as many departures throughout the season. No big international competition in terms of like the Olympics or the World Cup. Sure, you have the Euros, but not as many players departing mid-season. And Randy Waldrum has said in years past that sometimes he's had to break down the season like playing in two halves. But this year, you get to keep that core throughout the season. How much does that, you know, kind of take the nerves away, or knowing that, you know, you see the team around you and being like, okay, this is going to be the team that I'm going to be involved with throughout the year, as opposed to making heavy changes at one portion of the season?
Oh, yes. I mean, we always love it when our players go and play internationally, of course. Something that everybody would want to do, but it definitely takes a toll on the Dash team and what we're moving towards. So having everyone there, understanding all of our goals are the exact same, really helps out.
But with that roster rotation, that gave you a lot of opportunities to get time onto the field, and you appeared in 15 of the matches last year, getting 11 starts as well, getting moved around a little bit during that process, but a lot of experience last year gained. What was the biggest takeaway from your performances in the 2016 season?
Well, probably just be that anything is possible. I mean, I'm not necessarily necessarily the fastest player. I'm not necessarily the most technical player. But if you do what you're told and you listen to the coaches and you learn, even at a professional level, I have a lot to learn. So having open ears and a big mind to keeping things open helps out a lot. I've learned from so many players, even like everyone, because I've never played the positions that I had played. So it definitely makes a difference.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, you know, what was the biggest thing that you've looked upon in terms of the biggest part of the game that you've had improvement while working under Randy?
Becoming more simple. I tend to complicate things, and he's kind of nailed it into my head to just keep the ball rolling. Like, keep the ball, make it simple. As long as it's going with the flow of the team, it's working out.
For sure. Well, you've had an interesting story in terms of how you've gotten to this point in your career so far. A nice little piece put together by one of the good friends of the show, Hal Kaiser, with the Keeper Notes. And, you know, he kind of documented your career a couple of years ago where you started out as one of those open tryout players who paid the fee to, you know, try and impress Randy Waldrum on a couple of days, and then ended up getting you an opportunity to play with the Dash in preseason. Now here you are, but I'm curious to know, why did it work here with Houston?
I'm not too sure why it worked. I came for the open tryout. I had every single team. I was going to go to every single team's open tryout that I was able to go to. I had other flights arranged, and Randy said, oh, no, you can just cancel all those. This was just the first one, and it happened to work out. I don't really have a reason why it worked out. It's just lucky, I guess.
Well, they always say that fate and timing is sort of everything that comes together. And, you know, that year for you, a little bit up and down, a little bit turbulent at times, due to the fact that you're able to get through yourself through the training camp. You got the amateur player status. You were able to appear in a couple of minutes. But, you know, it was, at least, again, it looked on paper, very up and down for you that 2015 season.
I mean, nothing is ever expected in this league, so when it actually happened, it was a bit of a shock.
And then after your stint as an amateur player, you went overseas, played in Norway for a few months to finish off the 2015 year. How much of that helped you grow as both a player as well as a professional player?
Yeah, because when I left, that was when some of the national players were going to be coming back. So I figured if I go overseas and get some game time, it would be better than just training and sitting the bench. So when I went over there, I was very, like I said earlier, open to everything. The players there are phenomenal, so it kept my touches up and tactically my awareness. When I came back, I was ready to go.
And of course, by going overseas, there's always that experience of culture shock and, you know, the little changes and nuances. Was there anything that you had to crash into really quickly to get yourself comfortable while playing over there?
Yeah, the fact that they don't speak as much English as I was anticipating definitely put a big dent in it. They actually had me with a host family that only spoke Norwegian, so that was a bit difficult. Other than that, everything went smoothly.
Was there any lasting phrases that you learned during your time over in Norway that you've remembered?
On Finn Argo Salman. That's just, have a nice day, everybody. It's probably one of the only things I could pronounce properly.
Well, politeness is always something that will always be accounted for, no doubt about that. With this Houston soccer community, whenever you talk with anybody in and around the organization, whether it's the Dash or the Dynamo, there's always a positivity that comes away from it. And a lot of people in that soccer community really enjoy watching the teams play. Why is the Houston soccer community so special?
I think the fans are what makes the Dash so special. Everyone has such a big heart and is very prideful of Houston, which makes things easier for us, of course. But we have a good showing and we have great fans. It makes us want to work harder. So without one, you can't have the other. I think that's
Well, always having that 12th person behind you is always going to be a plus no matter what. Now, you talked about earlier on being open in terms of your play on the field and where you're going to be featuring in a starting lineup. Where do you see yourself on the field for the Dash this year?
In training, it's looking like I'm going a little bit more of a defensive role. You never know. Something could happen, and I could be thrown into an offensive position. It's honestly all up to Randy and what formation. We don't really have a set formation yet, so I think it's kind of tossing people around, seeing who meshes well with each other.
And there are a couple of new faces within the team in the mix of all the returners from a year ago. What's one player that you're looking forward to playing with, whether it is a new player or a returning player for that matter, that you're looking to continue establishing, you know, that relationship on the field? Or if it's a new player, what's that player that you want to maybe pick a little bit of knowledge off of that might help your game in return?
Love playing with Kay. She's very knowledgeable. But this year, even with the language barrier, I would really like to get more knowledge and whatnot from Bruna. She's a very experienced player. She's been around the block a few times. And I think she has a lot of tactical things that she could bring to this team.
And to kind of wrap things up here, what is this Houston Dash team going to look like, and where do you think that your team can go this year?
I mean, we always have, I like to go for smaller goals before you go for big goals, so as of right now, it's just like winning one game after the other, then we can get to the playoffs, but I think all in all, we can easily take the championship. You just don't want to bite up more than you can chew. You know, take one game at a time, and I have a good feeling about it.
Well, thank you very much, Cammy, for chatting with us. We appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this NWSL season preview of the Houston Dash. Thank you very much for tuning in to today's episode. We hope to see you back here for our continuing coverage of the 2017 NWSL preview shows here on WOSO Zone. So until next time, goodbye for now.